الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. يسر إخوانكم في موقع دار الحديث بالشحر أن يقدموا لكم هذه المادة لفضيلة الشيخ أبي عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن عمر بن مرعي بن بريك حفظه الله تعالى. والآن مع المادة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فنبتدئ في هذه الليلة القراءة في هذا الكتاب الذي نجعله إن شاء الله تتمة لدروسنا فيما نتفقه ونتعلم فيه ما تيسر من العلم الشرعي. وكان اختيار الكتاب التالي كتاب الشيخ الوالد العلامة الإمام عبد العزيز بن عبد الله بن باز رحمه الله تعالى، الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة. ودرسنا اليوم إن شاء الله نبتدئ في هذه الرسالة، ونقدم بمقدمتين ثم شروع في بداية الكتاب. أما المقدمة الأولى في ذكر شيء يسير من ترجمة هذا الإمام، وهو شيخنا وشيخ مشايخنا الشيخ عبد العزيز بن عبد الله بن باز رحمه الله تعالى. ولد رحمه الله تعالى بمدينة الرياض في سنة 1330 للهجرة. نعم، ستجده. وكان رحمه الله تعالى في أول سنه يبصر ويرى، ثم أصيب في عام 1346 للهجرة بمرض في عينه، وقيل أنه أصيب أناسا أو أصيب أناس كثر في ذلكم العام بمرض بأعينهم، فعمي على إثره عدد كثير من الناس ومنهم علماء كثر. ثم ذهب رحمه الله فواصل في طلبه العلم، واستمر وتدرج في القراءة على المشايخ، وهكذا كذلك يتدرج في كتب أهل العلم حتى نبغ صغيرا، فحفظ القرآن رحمه الله تعالى وهو صغير، ونبغ بين مشايخه وأقرانه وهو صغير. ويدلك على ذلك أنه رحمه الله تعالى ولي للقضاء، يعني صار قاضيا في منطقة الخرج، وهي أحد المناطق الشمالية الشرقية في المملكة العربية السعودية. كان ذلك في سنة 1357، يعني كان عمره أقل من 30 سنة، يبلغ من السن 27 سنة، وهو قاضي رحمه الله تعالى، تولي القضاء. وهذا يدل على نبوغه في العلم وذكائه، لأن القضاء في زمانه رحمه الله ليس كالقضاء في زماننا هذا، وفي كثير من بلاد المسلمين فضلا عن غيرهم، يتولاه من لا يحسنه ولا يعرفه. أما في ذاك الزمان كان القضاء لا يتولاه إلا أهل الرسوخ في العلم والمجازون في الفتوى، ومن هم أهل لتولي قضايا الأمة. فتوليته من قبل مشايخه للقضاء يدلك على نبوغه ورسوخه رحمه الله تعالى. ومما ذكره مشايخنا أنه كان رحمه الله تعالى قد وهب التحرر في طريقته العلمية من صغره، حتى أنه رحمه الله سجن أو حجز من أجل قضية طلاق الثلاث. فتعرفون جمهور العلماء على أن طلاق الثلاث يعد طلاقا بائنا إذا كان في مجالس أو مجلس على قول ولو في نفس العدة. والصحيح الذي رجحه المحققون وهو قول الصحابة إلى عهد عمر رضي الله عنه صدرا منه، كما جاء في حديث ابن عباس في صحيح مسلم أنه كان يعد طلقة واحدة في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبي بكر، وصدرا من عهد عمر. فلما تتابع عليه الناس أمضاه عليهم عمر رضي الله عنه أرضاه. الشاهد أنه خالف المذهب، أي مذهب الحنابلة، وحجز لأجله رحمه الله تعالى. وهذا ليس بالأمر السهل، فمن أدرك التعصب المذهبي في كثير من بلاد المسلمين عرف واستشعر حقيقة شجاعة مثل هذا الموقف من مثل هذا الإمام رحمه الله تعالى. فقد أدركت شيئا من هذا التعصب في بلاد نجد، وهم يطعنون في شيخنا، أي بعض المتمذهبة من الحنابلة يطعنون في شيخنا محمد بن صالح العثيمين رحمه الله، وشيخ شيخنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله طعنا شديدا، حتى يكاد الطعن أن يشككوا في تدينه أو تدينهما رحمهم الله. فكيف بزمن قبل هذا الزمان؟ فإن التعصب كان أشد، ومع ذلك تجرأ بالحق هذا الإمام رحمه الله في الصدع بهذه المسألة. وقد أوتي الشيخ رحمه الله قبولا عظيما لأمور كثيرة، من أهمها ثلاثة خصال: أولها رسوخه في العلم رحمه الله تعالى، المتمثل بثلاثة أمور: الأمر الأول أخذه العلم عن أكابر أهل العلم، فقد أخذ العلم عن مشايخ كثر من أكابر أهل العلم في بلده، ومن هؤلاء الشيخ محمد بن عبد اللطيف بن عبد الرحمن بن حسن ابن الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمهم الله، ومن هؤلاء الشيخ صالح بن عبد العزيز بن عبد الرحمن بن حسن ابن الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب قاضي الرياض رحمهم الله تعالى، ومن هؤلاء الشيخ سعد بن حمد بن عتيق قاضي الرياض في زمنه رحمه الله تعالى، ومن هؤلاء الشيخ حمد بن فارس وكيل بيت المال بالرياض رحمه الله، ومن هؤلاء الشيخ سعد بن وقاص البخاري وهو من علماء علوم القرآن في مكة المكرمة رحمه الله، وأخذ عن جماعة من مشايخ الهند وغيرهم في الحديث وغيره، ومن هؤلاء شيخه الذي لازمه وأكثر الأخذ عنه وهو الشيخ محمد بن إبراهيم بن عبد اللطيف آل الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى، وغيرهم من المشايخ الكثر مما أثمره رسوخا وثقة عند العلماء وطلبة العلم. والأمر الثاني، تمثل في حفظه رحمه الله تعالى، وجمعه للعلم وفهمه وذكائه فيه، فإنه برز في هذه الخصال الأربع مما جعل المشايخ فضلا عن غيرهم يثقون به، ويبرز صغيرا رحمه الله تعالى. وكفى بهذا تدليلا كون مشايخه يؤهلونه لأن يتولى القضاء وهو ابن 27 سنة، والأمر الثالث أنه رحمه الله تعالى وفق لمذهب أهل السنة والجماعة عقيدة وعبادة ومعاملة وأخلاقا وسلوكا، ومن ذلك مواقفه في المسائل الفقهية التي تحرر فيها رحمه الله، فصار شيخه الحقيقي هو شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله وتلميذه ابن القيم، وهذا كثير في اختياراته رحمه الله. وقد جمع رحمه الله بين العلم والعمل ما أورث الثقة به كذلك وبعلمه رحمه الله تعالى، حتى قال بعض مشايخنا: ما رأينا من أهل العلم من يشبه بالصحابة في الحرص على العلم والعمل بمثل الشيخ عبد العزيز بن باز رحمه الله، وما أخطأ رحمه الله تعالى. فإن من تتبع سيرة هذا الإمام وجده رحمه الله تعالى عالما راسخا في العلم عاملا بعلمه من الدعوة والتعليم وهكذا كذلك النصح لكل مسلم من أئمة المسلمين وعامتهم، فما أكثر رسائل ومقالات هذا الإمام للملوك والرؤساء والوجهاء ومدراء العموم في بلده رحمه الله وخارج بلده مما يدل على أنه رحمه الله رجل دعوته عالمية ومع هذا كله كان لين الجانب تمتلئ مجالسه رحمه الله بطلبة العلم والفقراء والمساكين وأصحاب الحاجات والشفاعات على كثرة أعماله ومشاغله ومناصبه العلمية رحمه الله تعالى والعملية، فقد تولى رحمه الله القضاء وتولى التدريس في مناصب وجهات كثيرة، وعين رحمه الله نائبا لرئيس الجامعة الإسلامية، وتولى بعدها رئاسة الجامعة الإسلامية، وعين رئيسا عاما لإدارات البحوث العلمية والإفتاء والدعوة والإرشاد، وعين كذلك قلنا رئيسا عاما لإدارات البحوث العلمية والإفتاء والدعوة والإرشاد، وعين مفتيا للمملكة العربية السعودية، وعين رئيسا لهيئة كبار العلماء، وهكذا كذلك كانت له العضوية في مجمعات وجهات علمية متنوعة، فقد تولى رئاسة هيئة كبار العلماء، وتولى رئاسة اللجنة الدائمة للبحوث العلمية والإفتاء، وتولى عضوية ورئاسة المجلس التأسيسي لرابطة العالم الإسلامي، وهكذا تولى رئاسة المجلس الأعلى العالمي للمساجد، وهكذا تولى منصبا في المجمع الفقهي وغيرها من المناصب الكثيرة، ومع هذا كله كان لين الجانب رحمه الله تعالى. لا يصعب على المسلم أن يصل إليه، يأتيه المسلم من مشارق الأرض أو مغاربها فيصل إليه بكل سهولة، فكان مجلسه الخاص في مكة أي الذي خصصه لاستقبال الزوار يسمح فيه لطلبة العلم وغيرهم ممن سبق ذكرهم للوصول إليه، وينظر لقضايا الجميع بكل جدية، فإن كانت أسئلة شفوية أجاب عنها، أو مكتوبة أحال بالإجابة إليها، أو شفاعات أمر بكتب ما تيسر منها، أو نفقات ومساعدات أمر كذلك بالنفقة بما تيسر، أو قضايا إسلامية في دول مختلفة نظر فيها وسعى في الخير في أمرها، أو غير ذلك من قضايا كثيرة. وقد شهدت بنفسي عشرات هذه المواقف إن لم تصل إلى المئات مما كانت تحتف به مجالس الشيخ رحمه الله، سواء في مكة أو في الطائف أو في الرياض. وكان يستغل وقته رحمه الله في الخير في جميع أبوابه في كل وقت، فيقرأ عليه رحمه الله في المسجد، ويقرأ عليه رحمه الله في العلم في بيته، ولو قراءة يسيرة تتخلل طلبات الزائرين وأسئلتهم وقضايا هؤلاء الزوار، بل ويقرأ عليه رحمه الله أول ما يركب سيارته. وهكذا في الطريق وهو يسير إلى المسجد أو يرجع منه، أو إلى الإفتاء أو يرجع منه، عمر وقته رحمه الله بأنواع أعمال البر والخير المتنوعة المختلفة. وهكذا مؤلفاته ومصنفاته رحمه الله، وهكذا مؤلفاته ومصنفاته رحمه الله تدلك على توفيق الله عز وجل لهذا الإمام. فله مؤلفات كبيرة وصغيرة تدل أولا على حرصه على نفع الناس بما يحتاجون، وثانيا اهتمامه واعتنائه بأهم القضايا علمية وعملية. ومن تتبع كتبه ومؤلفاته ومقالاته ورسالاته التمس ذلك جليا، ومن ذلك هذه الرسالة التي بين أيدينا، الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة، فهي رسالة صغيرة في حجمها لكنها تناولت أهم المهمات التي يحتاجها المسلم. سواء في القرآن أو في العقيدة أو في الفقه أو في الآداب، فكانت رسالة شاملة عظيمة تدل على اعتناء هذا الإمام بحاجة المسلمين وأحوالهم وإعطائهم ما يناسبهم في ذلك الباب. وهذه هي المقدمة الثانية المتعلقة بهذا الكتاب المسمى الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة، وإن شاء الله أبو حذيفة يترجم ما تيسر من هذا الكلام ثم نشرع في الكتاب.
شيخ أبو عبد الرحمن عبد الله ابن عمر العدني حفظه الله تعالى started this lecture by mentioning the name of Allah, saying بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, praising Allah سبحانه وتعالى, bearing witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone who has no partners, and asking Allah to make salah and salam upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then as for what follows, he said, we start today reading in this book as to complete what we have started with in our way to try to understand what is from the knowledge of our religion. And we have chosen to continue with this book of the Shaykh, the noble scholar, Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala. And the name of this book is Important Lessons for the Whole Ummah. And before we start entering into this book, we will do two introductions. Then we will start the book. So the first introduction will be to mention something about the life of the author. And he is, as Sheikh is saying, our Sheikh, because Sheikh Abdullah Hafizahullah studied with him, and he is also the Sheikh of our Mashaykh, Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz. And he was born in the city of Riyadh in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia in year 1330 after Hijrah. And he was, rahimahullah ta'ala, at the beginning of his lifetime, he wasn't blind, and then he was affected by a disease in 1346. At the time, he was affected by a disease in his eyes at the time where many people were affected by a disease in their eyes, and many people became blind because of it, and the Shaykh, rahimahullah ta'ala, was one of them. But although he was affected by blindness, this did not prevent him from continuing in his way of seeking the knowledge of this religion, and he kept on moving on slowly, step by step, by going through the books of knowledge with the people of knowledge. It is mentioned from him that he memorized the Quran while he was very young. And also, something which shows you the level that he had reached in knowledge in a very young age is the fact that he was put as a judge in the region of Kharaj, which is in the north of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, in year 1357. And you have to understand that, so first of all, he was less than 30 years old when he was put as a judge, and it is his scholars who put him as a judge. And you have to understand that this clearly indicates the level that he had reached in knowledge and the intelligence that he had, because being nominated as a judge at that time is not like today. Unfortunately, nowadays, in many of the Muslim countries, very ignorant people and people who do not at all deserve to be judged or even given responsibilities are put as judges. But at that time, only the people of Rusukh, meaning of stableness, and people who were grounded in knowledge, were put as judges. And from what Sheikh Abdullah scholars have mentioned is that Sheikh Abdul Aziz, in talking about Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, they said that Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was given.
ماذا تقصد بتهرر في طريق العلم؟
يعني ليس متعصب لما طيب. لما تبع كتاب السنة.
طيب. He was given carefulness in the way of his knowledge, meaning that he does not stick to a madhab and he's not a blind follower to a madhab, but he tries as sincerely as possible to stick to the Quran and the Sunnah. And this led that he was even imprisoned for this. And he was imprisoned for the issue of the three divorces, because the majority of the scholars and of the madahib are upon the opinion that if a person says to his wife three times in a row, يعني makes talaq of his wife three times in a row, then this counts as three talaq and he cannot take her back. But Shaykh is saying that the true opinion upon this issue is that this is only counted as one talaq, and this is what the people of tahqiq, yani the people who go back to the Quran and the Sunnah, are upon, because this is what the Sahaba were upon up until the time of Umar, and this is also what has been authentically reported in the Sunnah, is that the person who does it three times in a row like that in the same iddah, that this is not considered three talaq. So, because Shaykh Abdul Aziz bin Baz rahimahullah ta'ala went against the Hanbali madhab, which was enforced at that time, he was very firm on his position upon that, because this is what appeared him to be the truth, he was put in prison for that. And you must understand that this is not at all an easy issue, because whoever has reached this time or has witnessed this time where there was, like we say in Arabic, ta'assub, yani that people blindly stick to the madhab and are very firm and stubborn and stick to this madhab, like it is the case in many Muslim countries. If you have witnessed this, you understand what was the braveness of this imam in sticking to his position that he believed to be the truth. And Sheikh Abdullah is saying that he himself has witnessed some of this ta'assub, some of this blind following and severely sticking to the madhab in the region of Najd, which is the eastern region of Saudi Arabia. And he said that it led to the point that the people were criticizing and talking ill about his Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih Al Uthaymeen, and also the Sheikh of Sheikh Al Uthaymeen, meaning Sheikh Nasir Al Sa'di. People were talking ill against them. So this was at the time where Sheikh Abdullah was in Saudi Arabia, meaning not so long ago. So you must understand it was even worse before that. So Sheikh is saying, what has made that this Imam has reached such a position in the religion of Islam? Mainly three characteristics. The first characteristics is his firmness in knowledge, and this comes about with three things, or this came about with three things. First of all, that he took the knowledge from the elder and greatest of scholars, and he has taken his knowledge from a great number of big scholars, from them.
Asma al-Mashaykh, ayna yabda? Huna. Huna al-Shaykh Muhammad, tayyib.
From those that were mentioned was Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Latif, ibn Abdul Rahman, ibn Hassan, ibn Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, may Allah have mercy upon them. Then there was also Sheikh Saleh ibn Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Hassan bin ibn Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, meaning they're all grandsons or from the descendants of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, the famous scholar that we all know, inshallah. Then there was also Sheikh Sa'd ibn Hamd ibn Atiq, who was one of the judges from Riyadh. And then there was also Sheikh Hamd ibn Faris, and also Sheikh Sa'd Waqas al-Bukhari, and other than that. And there was also, not to forget, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim ibn Abdul Latif al-Sheikh, which is from amongst the grandsons or the great-grandsons of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. May Allah have mercy upon all of them. And other than them, from amongst those that he has studied with. Then the second characteristic is the fact that he was very strong and was making a lot of efforts in the memorization of knowledge and the gathering of knowledge. And he was giving great importance to understanding what he was memorizing, and he proved to be extremely intelligent in this. So, because of these four things that we just mentioned, meaning memorization, gathering knowledge, understanding it, and intelligence in this issue, through these four characteristics, this made that his shuyukh, his scholars, started trusting him. And it is enough to show this, the fact that they have put him as a judge while he was 27 years old. Now the third thing which made him reach the position that he reached was the fact that, may Allah have mercy upon him, he was granted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come to the madhab of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah in matters of aqidah, in matters of worship, in matters of dealing with people, in matters of behavior, and in matters of dealing with issues in general. And this comes very clearly about in his fatawa and his books, where he explains the issues of fiqh. And if you read what he has written in matters of fiqh, you understand that his real shaykh in this matters are Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim, because verily he has chosen their opinion into many issues. And also Shaykh Abdul Aziz bin Baz showed a very great practicing of this knowledge that he gathered by acting upon it. And this made that people started trusting him, up until some of his scholars said that, yani some of Shaykh Abdullah's scholars said that, we have not seen anyone from amongst our scholars who resemble as much the Sahaba in matters of gathering knowledge and acting upon knowledge as has done Shaykh Abdul Aziz bin Baz. And whoever looks into the biography of this Shaykh, then he will see that he was a great scholar and that he was acting upon the knowledge that he has gathered, whether it be in matters of teaching, in matters of gathering knowledge, in matters of da'wah, and in matters of giving nasiha, advice to the Muslims. For verily, this Imam has written many letters to the kings of the Muslim lands, be it in Saudi Arabia or outside of Saudi Arabia, and also to the presidents or the people of high positions, as to advise them. And although he has reached this position of addressing himself to people of high ranks, this did not at all prevent him from being very humble, for verily he was very gentle. And you could see that his sittings where he was teaching, they were full of students and poor people and people who were in need. So, Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, he was put as a judge. And at the same time, he was teaching. And at the same time, he was put in charge of many very important positions linked to this religion in the country. From this, he was put as the vice president of the University of Medina. Then next, he was put as the director of the University of Medina. Then next, he was put also as a president of the Lajna Daima, يعني the Council of the Scholars for Research and Fatawa. Then he was also put as the main mufti of Saudi Arabia. He was also put president of the Council of the Kibar al-Ulama, meaning the great scholars. And he was also member of many other institutions which are linked to knowledge and fatawa in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And other than that. And although he had all those positions, he was a very gentle person, and it was not at all difficult for a Muslim to reach him. Because people from all over the world, Muslims from all over the world, came to visit him and came to attend his particular sittings, because he had put particular sittings to the purpose, or for the purpose of receiving the people who came to visit him from all over the world, whether it be students of knowledge or other than that people needed advice and guidance. It was very easy for them to reach him, so he would answer their questions, or he would, whether it be orally or by writing down anything for the people of that country, or by spending money in the way of Allah in the different parts of the world with whatever was easy at that time. نعم. And Shaykh Abdullah Hafizahullah Ta'ala says that he himself has witnessed tens, if not hundreds, of that sort of sittings from Shaykh Abdul Aziz bin Baz. He has witnessed from his own eyes what has just been mentioned. He said there was a sitting, there were sittings in Mecca and in Ta'if and in Riyadh, and Shaykh bin Baz was trying to use all his time in khair, and this was in every moment of his life. He said people came to him to talk about knowledge and to ask about texts of knowledge or anything linked to knowledge, whether it be in his sittings in the masjid or even outside of the masjid while he was getting onto his car or while he was walking in the streets. He was trying to have his time always busy with something which would bring him closer to Allah. And the types of khair that he was busy with were extremely many different types, like has been mentioned. And also, Sheikh is saying that if you look at the writings of this Sheikh, it shows you the tawfiq that Allah has given to this Imam, because verily, his writings are many. Some of them are small and some of them are big, but you see that he was giving great importance to write on topics that were very important at his time, topics which people needed guidance in. And he was giving great importance to that, يعني in the sense that he was explaining the knowledge that was linked to it and how to practice this. And whoever looks through his books will see how this happened. And from amongst those books is the book that we have in between our hands, which is called Important Lessons for the Entire Ummah. And this is a book of very small size, but it has encompassed the most important issues of our deen that the Muslim needs to know about. He has spoken about issues of the Quran, about issues of aqidah, of fiqh, and character and manners, And this shows you, as we have mentioned before, the importance that this Imam used to give to the need of the Muslims to understand their religion. نعم تفضل يا شيخنا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال: منهج الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة. الدرس الأول: سورة الفاتحة وما أمكن من قصار السور، من سورة الزلزلة إلى سورة الناس، تلقينا وتصحيحا للقراءة وتحفيظا وشرحا لما يجب فهمه. ونبتدئ في هذه الليلة بسورة الفاتحة، فنقرأها ويسمع إن شاء الله الإخوة والأخوات القراءة، وهكذا كذلك يحرص على تصحيح النطق فيها باغتناء الشريط الذي يكررون فيه السماع لهذه القراءة حتى تصح قراءتهم وتكمل، خصوصا وأن سورة الفاتحة هي أم القرآن. وسيأتي معنا إن شاء الله في الدرس القادم الكلام على شيء من فضلها وتفسيرها، واليوم نكتفي بقراءتها وتلقينها، وهكذا كذلك فتح ما تيسر من ألفاظها. نقرأ الفاتحة وتسمعون وتدققون في نطق هذه الآيات لهذه السورة. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. هكذا تقرأ سورة الفاتحة إذا قرأت في أول القراءة وقرأت في غير الصلاة. أما إذا قرأت بعد قراءة خارج الصلاة فإنك تكتفي بالتعوذ الذي تتعوذ به في أول القراءة، ثم تقرأ الفاتحة بذكر البسملة ثم سورة الفاتحة. وأما إذا قرأت بسورة الفاتحة في الصلاة، فإن كانت الصلاة سرية فسيأتي معنا إن شاء الله أنك بعد تكبيرة الإحرام تدعو بدعاء الاستفتاح، وسيأتي معنا إن شاء الله في موضعه ما هو دعاء الاستفتاح. ثم تتعوذ من الشيطان الرجيم، تقول: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. هذا سرا في الصلاة السرية. ثم تقرأ البسملة كذلك سرا في الصلاة السرية، تقول: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ثم تقرأ سورة الفاتحة. وإن كانت الصلاة جهرية فإنك تسر بدعاء الاستفتاح والتعوذ والبسملة وتجهر بسورة الفاتحة من قولك الحمد لله رب العالمين. فمثلا إن كنت إماما أو كنت أيتها الأخت المسلمة إمامة لأخواتك النساء فستكبر وستكبرين تكبيرة الإحرام الله أكبر ثم السكوت قليلا، هذا السكوت يقرأ فيه دعاء الاستفتاح. ثم بعد دعاء الاستفتاح التعود، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ثم بعد التعود البسملة، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كل هذا سرا. ثم تجهر القراءة من الحمد، فتقول مثلا الله أكبر، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين، آمين. هكذا تقرأ الفاتحة في الصلاة الجهرية، يسر بدعاء الاستفتاح وبالتعوذ وبالبسملة، ثم يجهر بالقراءة. ولتحرص أخي المسلم وأختي المسلمة على التدقيق في ألفاظ هذه السورة، فتدقق في ألفاظ هذه الآيات الحمد لله رب العالمين. فالأعجمي يدقق على حرف الحاء لأنها تثقل عليه، وكل ما يعرف من نفسه أن الحرف يثقل عليه فينبغي أن يدقق في سماع قراءة من يحسن القراءة. والحمد لله وسائل الاستماع اليوم متيسرة، سواء بأجهزة الحاسوب أو الأشرطة أو الذواكر المتنقلة المسماة بالـ MP3 أو MP4. يكرر الإنسان السماع، وإنما العلم بالتعلم. ولا ييأس لو حصل منه تقصير أو خلل أو استصعاب لبعض الأحرف في نطقها، لا ييأس، وليعلم أن الأجر يضاعف له، أجر قراءته وأجر مشقته وتتعتعه كما أخبر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، بل ينبغي أن يدفعه ذلك للاستمرار. وهكذا ينبغي أن يعلم أن قراءة الفاتحة كما سيأتي معنا إن شاء الله على القول الصحيح من أقوال أهل العلم هي واجب من واجبات الصلاة. واجب من واجبات الصلاة، بل ذكر بعضهم أنها ركن، أنها ركن من أركان الصلاة، لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم: لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب، يعني الذي يستطيع أن يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب فيجب عليه أن يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب، ولا تصح صلاته إذا لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. وإن أسلم إنسان حديثا ولا يحسن قراءة فاتحة الكتاب فماذا يصنع؟ سيأتي معنا إن شاء الله أنه يذكر ما تيسر من الذكر كالتسبيح ونحوه مما سيأتي إن شاء الله الكلام عليه.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شيخ عبد الله حفظه الله تعالى started reading in the book. The author says, Rahimahullah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The manhaj of the important lessons for the entire Ummah. The first lesson, Surah Al-Fatiha, and whatever is possible from the small surah, yani the small surahs, from Surah Al-Zalzala up until Surah An-Nas. And this by teaching the pronunciation of it, and by correcting the reading of it, and by making people memorizing it, and explaining what is obligatory to understand from it meaning-wise. So Shaykh Abdullah Hafizahullah Ta'ala says, we start with Surah Al-Fatiha, like the author said. And the brothers and the sisters have heard Shaykh reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, and Shaykh is saying that it is upon all of us to correct our pronunciation of this of Surah Al-Fatiha, and this by listening to the tape all over again up until we have a correct pronunciation of this surah. And because this is extremely important, as Surah Al-Fatiha is the Ummul Qur'an, the mother of the Qur'an, and the tafsir of it will come inshallah ta'ala in the next lesson. So as you have heard Shaykh reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, this is the way it should be recited. If you are reciting it separately, as a beginning or in the beginning of a recitation. يعني Shaykh has started by saying أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يعني you recite those two things if you're reciting Surah Al-Fatiha outside of prayer, and if you do not recite anything else before it, يعني any other surah or Quran before it. Now if you are reciting Surah Al-Fatiha in Salah, if it is from amongst the prayers where the recitation is done with low voice, then you start your prayer with a takbir. You say Allahu Akbar, which is called takbiratul ihram, yani the takbir by which you start the prayer. Then you make dua ul istiftah, meaning the dua for the starting of the prayer, and this will come on later inshallah ta'ala. Then after that you make ta'awudh, meaning by saying a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. And then then you say al-basmalah, meaning you say bismillahir rahmanir rahim, and all this quietly except for the takbir, you say it loudly, and then dua al-istiftah, al-ta'awuz, and al-basmala, you all say it quietly. Now if the prayer is a loud prayer, then you start reciting Surah Al-Fatiha from there, meaning by saying Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahmani Rahim Maliki Yawm al-Din until the end of the surah. So Shaykh is showing that al-basmala and everything which comes before it is said quietly, and then you start raising your voice with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And if you are the imam in prayer, then, or يعني, whether you be a man in the masjid or you are a sister leading your sisters in prayer at home, then you should leave some time between takbiratul ihram, meaning when you say Allahu Akbar to start your prayer, and when you start saying Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As for you and the people who pray with you, to recite quietly what has been mentioned before, meaning dua al-istiftah, at-ta'awwuz, and bismillahi rahmani rahim. The way Shaykh has demonstrated it, as you have heard, inshallah. Now, if the prayer is quiet, then you just recite everything which has been mentioned, including Surah Al-Fatiha and what comes after it from Surah, all quietly. Now, Shaykh is saying that it is upon us, all of us, to make efforts and grant great importance to properly pronounce the letters and the words of Surah Al-Fatiha. And it is upon us non-Arabs to pay attention, for example, to the letter Ha, like in Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Because it's a letter which pronunciation is usually difficult for non-Arabs. And it is upon you and upon all of us to look what are those letters and what are those words that are difficult for you to pronounce correctly. And then you have to correct yourself and correct your pronunciation in this. And this by going to people who have a good pronunciation, who will help you to correct yourself. And Alhamdulillah, today we have many means of listening to the correct pronunciation. We have tapes, we have MP3, we have CDs and all those things, which make it easy for us to get hold of a correct sample of the correct reading and pronunciation of the Quran. Then Shaykh is saying, be patient upon this and do not give up and do not let despair entering into your heart. Because the reward is in accordance to the difficulty. And know that the Prophet ﷺ said that the person who reads Quran with difficulty, then he has two rewards. He one has the reward for reading the Quran, and second, he has the reward for the struggle that he is going through to try and pronounce the Quran properly while it is difficult for him. Then Shaykh goes on saying that Surah Al-Fatiha is from amongst the obligations of prayer, as-salah, and some ulama say that it is even a rukn. Rukn meaning a pillar, yani that the salah is not authentic except without it. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, there is no salah for the person who has not read Fatihatul Kitab, meaning the Fatiha of the book, the one which is opening the book, meaning Surah Al-Fatiha. So whoever is able to read Surah Al-Fatiha, then it is obligatory for him to read Surah Al-Fatiha, and it is not authentic or it is not correct to leave it. But now if a person, for example, has come to Islam very shortly and reading Surah Al-Fatiha is very difficult or even impossible for him, then in that case he makes tasbih, saying Subhanallah, and with time inshallah he will strive and make efforts to learn Surah Al-Fatiha.